Yo, what is up YouTube? It's your boy T-Hatch coming back at you with another video. Today, as you can see in the title, we are going to be talking about Sunday night football between the Seattle Seahawks and the Arizona Cardinals. First, I'm going to be recapping the game for you, giving you my thoughts on some of the events that took place. And then we're going to look at what this actually means for the Arizona Cardinals, for the Seattle Seahawks, and for the NFC West as a whole. So definitely excited to talk about this. I don't know if you guys watched that game last night, but my goodness, that was an exciting game all the way through, from the first kickoff all the way to the finish in overtime. My goodness, that was an exciting football game to watch. So to recap this game, Kyler Murray and the Arizona Cardinals were able to battle from behind in overtime to beat the Seattle Seahawks in Sunday night football 37-34. Kyler and the Cardinals played the entire game from behind, never grabbing hold of the lead until the game-winning field goal in overtime. Battled from behind the entire game. what I like to say on this one is short stuff made great stuff, as Kyler Murray and Russell Wilson worked miracles to keep their team in the game. This is the first game in NFL history where both quarterbacks threw for 300 plus yards and ran for 50 plus yards. Each, Kyler Murray and Russell Wilson, accomplished that on the same night in this game. And oh boy, it was so exciting to watch. So first I want to talk about Russell Wilson and some of the things that he did, and this is coming to mind now, so I'm going to mention it. I am a Cardinals fan, so I think you ought to know that. I don't think it's necessarily going to change my opinion or perception of this game, but you ought to know that up front regardless. But talking about Russell Wilson, I think Russell Wilson displayed incredible accuracy and timing on his deep balls, finding Tyler Lockett on a number of those throws that only escaped Patrick Peterson's grasp by a matter of inches, and in some cases, seemingly only one inch. So Russell was on his game with the accuracy. Three of those throws actually would find Lockett in the end zone. So Wilson threw three TDs this game, all to Tyler Lockett. Boy, Tyler Lockett was going off in this game. Don't have this in my notes, but I would be remiss if I didn't mention DK Metcalf, because my goodness, did you guys see him run down Buda Baker? I can't show you the film because for copyright reasons, but definitely go look up that highlight. The Buda Baker interception, almost a pick six, stopped by DK Metcalf at, I think, something like the 5-yard line, pretty close to it. DK Metcalf was way behind the play. I'm talking way behind the play. Christian Kirk was between him and Buda Baker, or excuse me, not Christian Kirk. That would have been on offense, but there was a player between DK Metcalf and Buda Baker. Wasn't able to block DK. DK goes warp speed toward Buda Baker, who thinks he's got just a nice free and easy pick six. And DK Metcalf comes up from behind. I believe they said his top speed was 22 miles per hour. Stops him at the 5-ish yard line and keeps that touchdown from going down. That would later prove pretty crucial in the game. But just felt like mentioning that play there. Definitely go watch it, because mind-blowing what this kid can do. So beyond that, I do want to talk about Kyler Murray as well. And I think Kyler, as opposed to Russell Wilson, really showed his entire bag of tricks. I think he overcame a poor performance from the Cardinals' offensive line in this game that often left him under pressure, or even worse, they would let him get sacked and end up in, you know, third and long situations, which you never want to be in. But Kyler was able to burst away from pressure with his legs quite often, use his elusiveness, and really show that off in this game, as well as he dimed up his teammates on a lot of quick passes. I think this is a great development for this Cardinals offense, is watching them develop a really true quick pass game, where we saw Kyler Murray in some instances, releasing the ball in less than half a second after he caught it from the snap, which is absolutely incredible. There were multiple throws in this game that Kyler Murray made without even having the laces on the football, yet still throwing perfect spirals with perfect accuracy in perfect timing, and that is just another level of brilliance that is so great to see from a young quarterback in Kyler Murray. A couple other things that I think were key as well for Kyler was that he was able to find big plays downfield in key moments. He was able to find DeAndre Hopkins every now and again to get some yards downfield. He was able to connect with Larry Fitzgerald on a few plays. He was able to connect with Dan Arnold for a big big gain on a crossing route later in the game, not to mention what he's able to do getting to Christian Kirk in the end zone, as well as a wonderful play that Christian Kirk made on the sideline down the stretch of that game. A lot of this showed to me a level of accuracy from Kyler Murray on the deep ball specifically that I had not seen him have up to this point. He's been plenty accurate on the short and intermediate throws, but he's had some struggles early in his career with those deep throws, putting him in the perfect spot at the right time. He's starting to pick that up. He's starting to figure out how to connect with his receivers deep, not just in general, but working with these receivers in specific, knowing the capabilities of DeAndre Hopkins, knowing the capabilities of Christian Kirk and the rest of the guys on this roster, which is amazing to see out of a quarterback who is as young as Kyler Murray. So moving on from that, I think, you know, I think it's worth mentioning that this was not all Kyler Murray. He was not left on an island and you know, had to manufacture a win out of his butt. he had some help. He had some help on this game. There were a lot of teammates on the Arizona Cardinals who stepped up and helped them get this victory. So this victory, in my eyes, was buoyed by three interceptions by the defense, as well as incredible plays that were made by DeAndre Hopkins and Christian Kirk throughout the game. I think they were both key in that victory. The Cardinals rookies also showed out as well. Byron Murphy got his first career sack in a huge moment that ended the Seahawks drive with 5 minutes and 30 seconds left in overtime, not letting them get to the end zone, not letting them get that field goal. Huge there out of Byron Murphy, especially a guy who has at times struggled a little bit with his confidence out on the field, going from a guy who played on the outside in college to now having to play in the slot due to some of his deficiencies early in the NFL. Really good to see him get a big play in a big moment and hopefully give him some confidence moving forward to where he can improve into that guy that he wants to be moving forward. Beyond that, Isaiah Simmons as well came up with a huge interception, game-saving interception by Isaiah Simmons with 57 seconds left in overtime that set the Cardinals up to make a game-winning drive there at the end of overtime. It was massive as the Seahawks were knocking on the door. They were right there. They were just about in field goal range, and Isaiah Simmons was able to use his athleticism to snatch onto that ball from Russell Wilson and save the game for the Cardinals. That was a key play, and it's really great as a Cardinals fan to see these rookies stepping up and making the plays that they need to make. Something I want to mention as well is how Hassan Reddick has been playing. When he initially came in and started playing with this Cardinals team, he definitely had some struggles and did not look to be the guy that we thought we were getting when we drafted him. Now what we're seeing is Hassan Reddick is showing a really good ability to pass the rusher. I would not say he's excellent or great at passing the rusher, rushing the passer at this current moment. However, I do believe he can improve moving forward, but he's not one of those unbelievable talents who comes right in right away and is going to be one of the best pass rushers in the league, like you would see with a guy like Nick Bosa or Chase Young. But he's been playing really well as a pass rusher. And what we saw from him in this game against the Seahawks was not only the ability to put pressure on Russell Wilson, but also the ability to get off of the line, go play in coverage, and actually make plays while he is in coverage. I saw him break up at least one pass during that game, as well as play some good coverage on other plays throughout the game. And I was very impressed with what I saw from Hassan Reddick working within that Vance Joseph defense for the Cardinals. So definitely an interesting game, but as the Cardinals got the ball back from that interception from Isaiah Simmons, They were able to manufacture a drive down the field. What we saw was Kyler Murray making the right decisions over and over and over again in quick succession. And something I loved to see as well was the synergy between him and between Kyler Murray and Larry Fitzgerald as leaders on this Cardinals team. Because what we saw out there on offense was Kyler Murray was commanding the offense, getting them set, calling the plays, making the best decisions, whereas Larry Fitzgerald was not going to let too much time run off of that clock. After every single play, Larry Fitzgerald was sprinting over to the ball, snatched it up from whoever had it, took it straight to the center, got the ball set so that they could spike it or run another play. That was massive during that drive to conserve that 57 seconds as the Cardinals had no more timeouts left. The Cardinals were able to drive all the way down, get a spike with 2 seconds left on the clock, and Zane Gonzalez, thank goodness, was able to hit this one for the win for the Cardinals. Now, I want to mention as well with Russell Wilson, I think he did a really good job of keeping the Seahawks ahead in this entire game, and he really displayed his MVP caliber skill set, but they were unable to outlast the Cardinals in that hard-fought bout. I think the biggest thing is that the Cardinals were able to get Russell Wilson uncomfortable enough to get him to throw those 3 interceptions, and obviously those were key to this victory. If you would have had Buda Baker be able to run that one all the way in, screw you, Metcalf. If he would have been able to run that all the way in, wouldn't have even had the overtime, wouldn't have had the 3rd interception, but they definitely made the difference in that game with that Cardinals defense being able to pick off Russell Wilson 3 times, which is quite remarkable for how Russell Wilson has been playing this year, and that is a great sign of confidence for that Cardinals defense, which played very aggressive last week against Dallas, played a little bit more conservative here against the Seahawks, but was still able to generate takeaways, and that is huge for this defense that is trying out some new and inventive schemes from Vance Joseph, so really good to see there. I do encourage you actually to go read an article that I found on sportingnews.com, which I will link below, because it really chronicles the game's most important plays and also shows you highlights to go along with those. So if you want to watch some of these plays that I'm talking about, as well as many others, pretty much all the important plays from that game, definitely go check out that article and you can see those plays there. So moving on from that, what does this win mean for the Arizona Cardinals? Well, I think that this is a massive win for Arizona as it proves to the world, but more importantly to the players themselves, that they can battle from behind and win a tough game against a high caliber opponent. That was the number one knock on this Cardinals team, is that, okay, well, they've got some wins, but they're against mediocre or bad teams. Not the case here against the Seahawks. This is a team that is getting talk as a potential Super Bowl contender, has a potential MVP playing for them currently in Russell Wilson. And to be able to play a hard-fought Sunday Night Football nationally televised game against the Seahawks, not only hold your own, but actually battle back from behind. You're behind the entire game. Battle back, tie it to get to overtime. Battle back and actually win that game in overtime. That is a massive victory for a young and inexperienced Cardinals team. I also think that this was a huge game for Kyler Murray as he displayed leadership traits that we expect to see from great quarterbacks. He overcame the challenges in front of him, never lost hope that the Cardinals would win the game, and displayed fire and passion in confronting his teammates to draw the best out of them. I saw, you know, Kyler was over on the sideline getting heated, yelling at some of his teammates because they weren't doing their job. They weren't pulling their weight. And I think that's something that a great leader needs to be able to do, is let guys know when they're not doing what they need to do. And it's not that you got to step up and play hero ball. It's not that the other guy's got to step up and play hero ball. It's you got to play your role, do what's expected of you, and I'll do the same. And I think Kyler Murray laying out those expectations, reminding them in a very upfront way in the middle of the game, was actually massive in rallying this team to win. If you watched Kyler Murray in the press conference after the game, well, not the press conference, his interview, you saw him, I believe he was asked a question, you know, did you think you were going to win that one? He said, we believed the whole time that we were going to win that game. And that is what I want out of Kyler Murray. Doesn't matter that he was down the entire game. Doesn't matter that his offensive line wasn't playing quite well. Doesn't matter how good Russell Wilson was playing. Kyler Murray knew he was going to win that game because the Cardinals were going to will that win into existence, and they did exactly that. That is what we need to see out of a young quarterback. That is the kind of things that we have not seen from other young quarterbacks like Lamar Jackson or Josh Allen, guys of that likeness. So it is amazing to see that from Kyler Murray, and I think this is going to be a huge game for him and the Cardinals moving forward, giving him the confidence to lead and giving the rest of the team the confidence in Kyler to be led by Kyler. So I think that's going to be massive for the Cardinals. What does this game mean for the Seattle Seahawks? Well, to me, the Seahawks and their fans should see this game as a success with failures attached. So what do I mean by that? Well, I think Russell Wilson and the offense played great, except for the three interceptions by Wilson. He's got to figure out a way to keep the ball. You know, you got to keep possession. That's very obvious to say, but that was the difference in this game. Those three interceptions were the difference between the Seahawks having a win and continuing on this undefeated, amazing start to their season and losing a tough game in overtime. That for some teams can be demoralizing. However, I don't think that's going to be the case with the Seahawks team because of the leadership of Russell Wilson, because of the leadership of Pete Carroll and the amazing culture that they have there in Seattle. So I don't necessarily see this as a big, terrible thing for the Seahawks where, oh no, what are we going to do for the rest of the season? No, they're doing fine. They're still at the top of the NFC West. They played a good game. They just had a couple mistakes that ended up costing them the win. Beyond that, I think that their defense was able to give the Cardinals some trouble until Kyler Murray exploded their willingness to overplay his running ability. What we saw from the Seahawks a ton in this game was, regardless of how many guys they were rushing, 3, 4, 5, didn't really matter. They were always running a contain on the edge on Kyler Murray, and oftentimes on a lot of their plays, they were running a spy on Kyler Murray as well. And what we saw is that this didn't end up stopping Kyler from running, and what it really did was open up some extra passing lanes for Kyler, because this linebacker, instead of being committed to coverage, well, now he's committed to just staring at Kyler Murray. So sometimes that can cause a little bit of trouble. There was about two or three plays that I saw where Kyler could have escaped through the middle of the pocket but was unable to because of that spy. So it did work in those particular instances. But most of the game, it was opening up extra lanes for Kyler to be able to dime up his players on that short passing game that they were able to get. They also had some good success in the intermediate passing game, and that led them to being able to get those deep shots down the field to DeAndre Hopkins and Christian Kirk that really opened the game up for the Cardinals offense. I think as well, Seattle had a tough time dealing with the Cardinals' run game. I think they did a fair job of holding Kenyon Drake. However, he did have a couple fairly big runs, 10 to 15 yards. But really, they had trouble with Chase Edmonds. Once Kenyon Drake went out with his, I can't remember if it was a knee or an ankle injury. I'll have to get the specifics on that. But after Kenyon Drake went out of the game, Chase Edmonds took over the role as the feature back in Arizona. And he was really able to cut off some big chunks of yards from that Seattle defense. He was able to take what looked like a 3-4 yard gain, bump it out, and get 10-15 out of it, which is huge. That is a massive difference in the game. I counted at least two first downs that Chase Edmonds came up with big time down the stretch for the Cardinals. So that was really massive for them, getting that production out of Chase Edmonds, which is a very good thing for the Cardinals to see, considering that you don't really expect to get production like that out of your second string running back. So Seattle definitely had some struggles on defense. However, that said, you know, Seattle having problems with their defense is not new news to them. So beyond that, I think as well, the Seahawks did maintain their poise all the way through that hard-fought overtime and still appear to be one of the league's strongest teams, in my opinion. Like I mentioned before, I don't believe that this loss in any way is going to shake the confidence of the Seattle Seahawks. I think they all know that they played as good a game as you can expect, with the exception of those three interceptions from Russell Wilson, but he certainly knows what he did there, and he knows what he's got to do to keep his team in contention. So I don't see this being a huge problem for the Seahawks. I think they're still going to be a powerhouse team in the NFL. I think they're still going to be one of the better teams in the NFL for the rest of this season. So that sums up my thoughts on what this means for the Seahawks. I'm going to grab a quick drink of water before we get on to what this means for the NFC West. Okay, much better. So what does this game mean for the NFC West? Well, we still have to see what happens with the Rams in Monday Night Football here tonight. However, whether they win or lose, I don't think it's going to change my opinion in any major way. So I'm going to go ahead and put this out there before seeing the game. When I am looking at this division, especially after this game, seeing how good both the Cardinals and the Seahawks played, I really think there's a potential scenario that all four NFC West teams could make the playoffs. Yeah, that's right. Potentially all four NFC West teams could make the playoffs. The Seahawks currently hold a narrow lead on the division, sitting at 5-1, narrowly ahead of the Cardinals at 4-2, who are followed by the Rams at 4-2. Of course, we're going to see them play tonight. The Cardinals are sitting at 5-2 after that victory. So the Rams are followed by the 49ers, who currently sit at 4-3. So this really leaves the top spot in this division in play for all four of these teams, while also having realistic paths to the wild card slots for the remaining teams. Now, I don't necessarily think a team like the 49ers is going to contend for that top spot in the division. They've had some troubles, they've had some injuries this year, so it's probably not going to be the year that they win the division. But looking at their record compared to the records of other teams that are currently sitting in those wildcard spots, there's a legitimate chance that the 49ers could beat a couple of these teams out, and that chance is exactly there for the Rams as well. So this is shaping up to be one heck of a year for the NFC West, a division that in my eyes is in stark contrast to the NFC East, where all four teams have losing records. The best record being the Eagles at 2-4-1. Yikes. Boy, what a division the NFC East is turning out to be this year. But we're not worried about the NFC East and how bad they are. We're talking about the NFC West and how good they are. The NFC West appears to be the league's strongest division, as it has two potential powerhouse teams in the Seattle Seahawks and the Arizona Cardinals, as well as two sneakily competitive teams with the Rams, who are only 2 years removed from a Super Bowl appearance, and the 49ers, only a year removed from a Super Bowl appearance, and only lagging this year because of injuries. Now, obviously, that's going to stick with the 49ers throughout the rest of the season. You're not getting Nick Bosa back, you're not getting a lot of these guys back, so you're going to be this version of the 49ers for the foreseeable future into this season. What is that going to mean for their record at the end? We still have yet to see. However, looking at the strength of their team from last year making it to the Super Bowl, looking at what they've been able to do even considering the injuries to this point, they're still very much in contention for a wild card spot. So looking at this, you know, are we going to see another NFC West team get to the Super Bowl this year? You know, are they actually going to win it this time, because both the Rams and the 49ers ended up losing? But we could potentially see that 3 years in a row, the NFC is represented by the NFC West by potentially three different teams. Absolutely mind-blowing. Absolutely mind-blowing. Let's say for argument's sake it ends up being the Seattle Seahawks. They go represent. You get three out of the last 3 years represented by the NFC West, three different teams. You're not telling me that the Cardinals' window is just opening? You're not telling me that next year they're going to be even better? Oh my goodness. Could we see 4 years in a row with four NFC West teams? I'm not going to get to that point yet because we haven't seen the third. But it's a very real possibility. That's what we could be looking at here. So this is just absolutely interesting in my eyes to see a division in the NFC West where all four of these teams are potentially Super Bowl contending teams with how good they can be. Now, are they going to be that good this year? Are the 49ers going to be able to overcome their injury issues? Are the Rams going to be able to overcome the salary cap issues that they've been facing the last couple years, be able to get enough production out of their running back by committee style versus what they had from Todd Gurley? Are the Cardinals going to be able to hold it together long enough, grow and improve enough as a group to be able to overcome the hard challenges that are going to face them in the playoffs? And for the Seahawks, are they going to be able to outlast their defense and be able to outscore every opponent that they come up against? These are the big questions that need to be answered for these NFC West teams. But if they can answer these questions, we could see all four of these teams in the playoffs. We could see one of them reach the Super Bowl and be 3 out of the last 3 years with an NFC West team, potentially a different team each year. If that ain't the strongest division in football, I don't know what is. So all that out the way, that sums up my thoughts on this Sunday night football game, on the Cardinals and Seahawks, as well as what this means for the NFC West. I definitely appreciate you tuning into the video, especially if you're one of the few who made it this far into the video. As always, if you enjoy the show and want to see it grow, the absolute best way to do so is to simply share this with your friends. So go ahead and hit that share button, share it on all your social medias. Definitely subscribe if you want to see more of my content. And if you never want to miss one of my videos again, be sure to hit that notification bell so that you will get a notification every time I post a video. But with all that out the way, I definitely appreciate you guys tuning in, and I hope you have a great rest of your day. Peace.